It's time to turn off the lights and turn on the dark.
Chilling tales for dark nights.
Good evening, listener, and welcome back to Chilling Tales for Dark Nights, the podcast that dares to turn off the lights and turn on the dark. I'm your host, Steve Taylor, and tonight we're stepping into a room lined with diplomas, filled with expensive furniture, and harboring something cold-blooded beneath the surface. This isn't just therapy. This is manipulation by design, trust as a weapon, and a patient whose last hope just might be his worst mistake. In this Wednesday night's episode, we present a tale of psychological horror and slow unraveling, where therapy becomes torment, and your deepest pain isn't something to heal. It's something to exploit. This isn't about possession. It isn't about madness. It's about what happens when someone licensed to help chooses instead to harm. To guide us into this spiral of false choices and manufactured breakthroughs, we've enlisted a couple of special guests who we'll tell you more about shortly. So grab your journal. Reflect on your childhood trauma, and if your therapist offers you a choice between two chairs, ask what's really wired to the battery. Turn off the lights and turn on the dark. Our story tonight comes from Enter Scare Sleep, and it introduces us to a man desperate for healing. Years of PTSD, anxiety, and loss have brought him to the office of a renowned, if controversial, psychologist named Dr. Ferlucci. But trust, as we're about to see, is a double-edged scalpel. And the therapy plan? Let's just say it's not covered by insurance. To bring this descent to life, we're joined by Silver Underworld, whose horror narration channel has been quietly building a cult following thanks to his mix of immersive audio, grounded delivery, and just the right amount of adrenaline-fueled paranoia. A self-taught voice actor, Silver first started telling stories during overnight shifts at Aldi, fueled by caffeine, fear, and terrifying tales. Since then, he's made psychological horror his signature. Tonight, he plays our patient, and in the role of Dr. Ferlucci, the silky voice of doom, that's Phoenix Fire, another YouTube horror powerhouse whose range and precision always deliver. So settle in for a story about trust, trauma, and a therapy session you'll never walk away from. This is Dr. Ferlucci by Interscare Sleep, performed by Silver Underworld, featuring Phoenix Fire.
As I walk into his office, the first thing I noticed was how tidy everything was. Psychology books neatly placed on the bookshelf. His couch pillows perfectly coiffed and placed in the exact correct spots. His circular area rug vacuumed to perfection. His desk was no different. I've been in many psychologists' offices, where their desks were sorely unorganized with patient notes strewn everywhere, but not his. His desk was perfectly tidy, all his notes placed perfectly in the patient's filing cabinet. On the corner of his desk sat a Scrabble letter holder, with his last name spelled out in Scrabble pieces. Ferlucci. this was not my first time at a psychologist's office. I've been many times before, all for the same reasons. Deep personal trauma throughout childhood causes a litany of issues, all of which were not handled properly by my previous providers. But for some reason, I thought things would be different with Dr. Fallucci. His reputation surely preceded him. He had dealt with many cases like mine in the past. All of them were success stories. While his methods were, how do I describe them? Unconventional, to say the least. They seemed to get the job done.
"Please, take a seat,"
Fallucci said as he gestures towards the couch that he set up for his patients.
"What brought you to see me today?"
I've been diagnosed with severe PTSD, as well as anxiety disorder and BPD. I've been seeing another provider, but after getting nowhere in my treatment, I decided I need to have a change. You were highly recommended, so I scheduled an appointment, and here I am."
"I see,"
he replied while looking at me with an intrigued look in his eye, and biting the end of his pen.
"What impact have these conditions had on your life?"
Well, I started while adjusting myself uncomfortably on the couch. No amount of beauty and tidiness can make up for the uncomfy furniture.
I have a hard time trusting people. I can't really form meaningful relationships. I'm always on the guard for danger. I have trouble sleeping and concentrating, and I always feel angry inside."
He sat back on his chair and put his hands together, kind of making a triangle with his fingers forming the peak, then replied,
"Trust is one of the main necessities for any healthy relationship. Let me ask you, did you trust your previous doctor?"
I didn't say anything. Just looked at the floor and shook my head no.
"Well then,"
he continued,
"I can see why you decided to switch providers. But I also have to ask, do you trust me?"
He said it as if it wasn't a question, but an assertion. Almost as if to say that I had to trust him. Not yet," I said, with a quiver in my voice.
"But I want to."
He looked at me silently for a few seconds, looking as if he was trying to find the perfect words to say before he spoke. After what felt like an eternity, but in reality was no more than 5 seconds, he finally said,
"Well, unfortunately, without trust, we cannot continue."
I tried to interrupt him and protest, but he just raised his hand as if to silence me.
But if you are willing to do some homework that I'll give you, and if trust can be built, then I will love to have you on as my patient."
I needed this. Dr. Fallucci was my last hope, and I would do anything to be able to see him. So I replied empathetically,
Yes, I will do anything that you ask me to. I just want to be healed."
"Excellent. Take this then,"
he said while handing me a notebook.
"I want you to keep a journal every day. And I want you not only to write about the things that happen, I want you to write out your thoughts, your emotions, everything. I want to know how you really feel. Your two deepest, darkest self."
I took the notebook and nodded, nervous yet excited to take the first steps towards my self-improvement. The first steps towards finding myself, learning who I am, and becoming normal again. I grabbed the notebook, shoved it into my backpack, and walked out the office. This was my first step to freedom. Journal entry, day 1. I woke up this morning feeling hopeful. Today is the day after I met Dr. Fallucci for the first time. I truly believe that he will be able to help me. I don't fully trust him yet, though. There is just something about him that makes me pull away just ever so slightly, but hey, if I'm being honest, I feel that way with everyone. I'm sure he's an excellent psychologist. He was very highly recommended to me. I'm starting this journal at his request. I'll be writing down my thoughts, my feelings, really just anything that comes to mind. I hope that I will get better with his help. I hope that I will learn to feel things again other than this stagnant feeling of hatred and rage that stays with me constantly. I want to learn to trust. I want to learn to love. I want to learn what it means to be normal. I will say that the visit with Dr. Fallucci did make me think about a bit of my past. I realized that what happened to me isn't my fault. I know that my parents were both hooked on drugs and couldn't stop themselves, but I can't stop hearing them fighting. I can't stop hearing them arguing. I can't get the image of my dad slamming my mom's arm in the door as she struggled to get the purse from the table just inside. I can't stop hearing my brother and sister cry as they left with her. And I can't stop feeling the fear that I felt when I realized that I had to stay with him. How can I get past these memories? Journal entry, day 2. I woke up this morning feeling slightly dazed. What happened last night? I don't remember waking up at all, and my meds are the same ones that I've been taking for months. Dr. Fallucci is a psychologist, not my psychiatrist, so he didn't prescribe me anything. Nothing has changed in my routine, yet I feel slightly off. Oh well, time to get on with my day. I put the journal down. Too many thoughts were filling my head to continue writing. I hadn't had a breakdown like last night in a long time. Is it because I switched psychologists? I mean, it must be. The question that Ferlucci asked me started playing back in my mind. To be honest, I'm not sure if I can handle these memories repeating like a movie inside my brain. I really need help. I need these thoughts to end. It's time I get my life back on track. I need to find out who I am and just be me. I put my headphones in and go for a morning jog. I need to clear my head. While on my jog, a car pulls up beside me and slows down to my pace. Concerned and curious, I looked over at it. The car's driver's side window rolls down. Dr. Fallucci is the driver.
Yes, hello. I was hoping I would catch you here. I know this is a bit unorthodox, but I need you to come with me.
Fallucci shouted at me through his window.
Why? My next appointment isn't until next week, I replied.
Remember how I said that trust was the most important part of your treatment plan? Well, this is how it is gained. I need you to trust me,
he said, still shouting so I can hear him, but with a menacing tone. Apprehensively, I walked over to his car and get in the passenger seat. His car wasn't quite as tidy as his office as it was the day prior. It wasn't messy by any means, but it could definitely use a good detail job. I smelt a faint smell of cigarettes while sitting in there. No matter. Everyone has their vices. I don't hold a simple nicotine addiction against anyone. I still firmly believe that Fallucci was going to help me.
You made the right choice,
Fallucci said as he started to drive.
Where are we going? I asked.
Exposure therapy,
was all he said. The drive lasted roughly 2 hours. I had no idea where we were. I didn't recognize anything. We were definitely outside the city limits, but that's all I knew. Ferlucci finally pulled up to an old brick building. He told me to get out and go inside. I undo my seatbelt, opened the car door, got out, and walked towards the entrance to this small, old, abandoned-looking brick building. Ferlucci follows behind me. When I walk into the building, I see that there isn't much inside. A small light hangs over the top of two metal folding chairs. The floors are solid concrete, with what seems to me to be inch thick of dust covering them. To be honest, that was the only guess because the light was barely bright enough to illuminate the chairs themselves.
What you see before you are two chairs. One chair is completely normal. The other is connected to a car battery. If you sit on the chair connected to the battery, then you will be electrocuted and die.
Ferlucci said, with an evil grin on his face.
Now please, take a seat. Choose your destiny. You sit on one chair, and I on the other. We sit at the same time. One of us lives, and the other dies.
I look at him, with shock in my face. What the fuck? I say to him with fear, anger, and disgust in all my voice. I came to you for therapy, not to be in some sick game. What the fuck is wrong with you? I'm not gonna sit down. No, fuck that. I start walking back towards the door. Before I get to it, I heard a gunshot. I immediately dropped to the floor out of some sort of instinct. I have never been so scared in my life.
Now look here.
Ferlucci started with the most arrogant tone I've ever heard in my life.
The way I see it is this. You can either sit down and play my game, or you can continue walking towards that door and be shot. One way you have a chance of survival. The other way is certain death. Which do you choose?
Hesitantly, I stand back up, and with my hands raised in the air, I walk towards one of the chairs. I looked at it for a second, trying to get an idea if it was connected to a battery. Unfortunately, the light above wasn't bright enough for me to see anything. I then looked at Ferlucci to see if I could catch a tell in his face. But I saw nothing. He was stone-faced, like a professional poker player sitting at a Vegas casino. I couldn't tell if he was holding pocket aces or if he was drawing dead. Unfortunately, I didn't have another choice. I really focused hard on the two chairs to see if there was an obvious difference, but they looked both the exact same. I guess this is really playing a game of chance. I chose a chair. I stood in front of it, turned, and looked at Dr. Ferlucci, but he was already in the other chair. He looked at me with those cold eyes and nodded. I took that cue to sit down at the same time as him. I braced for the life-ending shock, but when I sat down, nothing. Nothing happened. I looked to the other chair, expecting to see Ferlucci convulsing and foaming out of the mouth due to the immense amount of electricity flowing through his body, but nothing. He sat there perfectly fine. I was confused. I sat there silent, trying to process what the fuck was going on. Before I can fully come to terms with what just happened, Ferlucci finally spoke.
You made a choice. One that was hard to make. One that was blind. and one that could have ended your life. However, this was not the only choice you could have made. There was a third option, to try and walk out the door. But that would have ended with me shooting you, wouldn't it? Neither of these chairs is connected to electricity. And here, take the gun. Examine it.
I was a bit of a gun nut back in my teen years, so I knew this was a Smith & Wesson M&P Shield 40 caliber pistol. I pressed the release button on the side to discover an empty magazine clip. Nothing. I pulled the slide back to see inside the chamber, and it was empty as well. There wasn't any ammo at all in the gun. All that I could see was carbon dust left over from the previous shot. That gunshot that I heard earlier must have been the last bullet in the gun when he shot it. Dr. Ferlucci, I don't understand.
You see,
Ferlucci continued after I looked back at him with astonishment.
Sometimes we have to make decisions in life with either incomplete or sometimes even incorrect information. Sometimes those can be the scariest choices one can make in life. But trust me when I say this, those decisions lead to the most memorable conclusions. I promise you, once you leave this room, you will never forget this lesson.
I sat there in disbelief, trying to process what just happened. Dr. Ferlucci had deceived me, manipulated me into a life or death situation for his sick amusement. The realization hit me like a tidal wave, shattering any trust or hope I had placed in him. Fear and anger coursed into my veins. I couldn't believe that someone who was supposed to help me heal could be so sadistic and cruel. My mind raced with thoughts of escape, of exposing Ferlucci for the monster he truly was. But I knew I had to be very careful about this. He had already shown me the lengths he's willing to go to.
What the hell is wrong with you?
I shouted, my voice trembling with a mix of rage and fear.
You're sick! You're supposed to be a psychologist, a healer. How could you do this to me?
Ferlucci chuckled, a cold, calculated sound that sent shivers down my spine.
Ah, my dear patient, you misunderstand. This was merely a test, an exercise in trust. I wanted to see how far you were willing to go for your healing. You see, trust is the foundation of our therapeutic relationship.
I couldn't believe what I was hearing. This twisted man was trying to justify his sadistic action as some kind of therapeutic method. It was madness.
You're sick, Ferlucci. You're not a healer. You're a monster.
I spat, my voice filled with venom. Ferlucci smiled widen. His eyes gleamed with a disturbing delight.
Oh, my dear, you have no idea. This was just the beginning. There's so much more I have planned for you. So many ways to unlock the darkest corners of your mind.
Felt a chill run down my spine. The realization hit me that I was trapped in this nightmare, at the mercy of a deranged psychologist who took pleasure in inflicting pain. But I couldn't let him break me. I had to find a way out to escape his clutches. With a trembling voice, I mustered up the courage to speak.
You won't get away with this. I'll find a way out, and I'll make sure the world knows what you've done.
Ferlucci's laughter filled the room, echoing off the walls.
Oh, my dear patient, you underestimate me. You see, I've perfected the art of manipulation. By the time you escape, no one will believe your words. They'll think you're just another delusional patient lost in your own trauma.
His words struck me like a blow, fueling a determination within me. I couldn't let him win. I had to find a way to expose him to bring his sadistic practice to light. But for now, I'm stuck in this sick torture house. As the days turned into weeks, I played along with Ferlucci's twisted therapy sessions, playing his games, trying my best to earn his trust. After all, trust is the most important part of any therapeutic relationship, right?
Please. Please. I don't want to do this anymore. Please.
Focus. You need to clear your mind.
I'm trying.
Again.
Just let me out of here. I've been here for days. Please, just let me go.
You will leave once you are fully recovered.
Somebody help. He's not a doctor, please.
I'm more than you think. Again.
I just don't understand, sir.
Look deep into your mind. Focus.
Okay. Okay.
This is for your own good.
I understand it now. I see what you mean.
Very good.
Yes, yes. I see it.
You've completed 99% of your task, my dear patient. Your final quest is tonight. Rest up.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you for all your help. Whatever it takes.
I endure his psychological games, enduring the pain and humiliation, all the while secretly plotting my escape. I start to observe his patterns, noting the moments when he let his guard down or when he seems distracted. I knew that was my chance. I begin discreetly gathering any evidence I could find, documents, recordings, anything that could help expose Ferlucci's true nature. But I also knew that I had to buy my time, to wait for the right moment to make a move. It was a dangerous game, as Ferlucci's watchful eyes never left me. I couldn't afford to make any mistakes. I live in constant fear, my every action calculated and measured. But deep within me, a fire burned, a determination that refused to be extinguished. I was not going to be another victim. I was going to fight back, to reclaim my life from this twisted man. Then, the day came for what Dr. Ferlucci called his ultimate test. Apparently, all the pain, humiliation, and torture had led me to this point. He led me into a dark room, very similar to the very first test, but this time, there was only one chair and no light. I could barely make out the outline of the person I was sitting in the chair, though.
Now, it is time for your final test,
Dr. Ferlucci said, but his voice was different than normal. He always spoke so calmly and calculated, but this time, his tone was just pure evil. He turned on the light. To my horror, my father was the figure sitting in the chair. I stared at my father, my mind reeling with conflicting emotions. The sight of him triggered memories of a painful past, one filled with abuse and torment. What if Ferlucci wanted me to do? Why was my father here? The questions rolled inside my head, one after the other. And it must have shown in my face because Ferlucci finally spoke.
I believe you two know each other. Doesn't it feel good to see the man who abused you and caused you so much pain, so helpless and at your mercy? As long as we are bound to our past, we can never grow. We must move beyond the pain that we endure and continue on to a brighter future. Now, your final task is to kill your father. By killing him, you will be killing your past. And once your past is dead, you can move on to become a free and a happier person.
I sat there in disbelief. my heart pounding in my chest as Ferlucci's sinister plan unfold before my eyes. The room grew suffocatingly quiet. The weight of Ferlucci's sadistic expectations pressed me down. Fear gripped me, intertwining with the emotions of my father's abuse. I couldn't let myself become a pawn in Ferlucci's game, but
escape seemed impossible. And then
you sound so sweet. No. I said in a calm voice that belied the storm raging within me. I won't do it. I have played along with your torture fantasy long enough. I can't kill him. I won't do your bidding. I won't be a pawn in your twisted game. You may have brought us face to face, but I refuse to continue the cycle of abuse. Ferlucci's eyes narrowed, a frown creeping across his face.
Disappointing.
He said in a tone that almost sounded hurt.
I thought we trusted each other. Maybe you're not ready for this final test. I should have known that you didn't want to be free. But unfortunately for you, our time has come to an end.
With those words, he lunged at me. His hands reaching down my throat. Panic surged through my veins as I fought against his powerful grip. But his strength far surpassed mine. The room spun, my vision blurring as Ferlucci's finger tightened around my neck. As darkness consumed me, I felt a sickening sense of defeat. When I regained consciousness, I found myself bound to a chair. The room dimly lit and filled with an eerie silence. Dr. Ferlucci stood before me. His expression triumphed. He had won, relishing in his sadistic victory.
Now, my dear patient, you will witness the consequences of your defiance.
Ferlucci sneered, his voice dripping with malice.
I will make you understand the price of crossing me.
With a chilling calmness, Ferlucci approached my father, who was still bound and helpless. The realization of what was about to happen struck me with a renewed wave of horror. Ferlucci had orchestrated this twisted scenario to not only harm my father, but also break my spirit. He raised a weapon, aiming at my father with a cold, detached expression. I struggled against my restraints, desperate to save him, but it was futile. Ferlucci, pull the trigger. In a deafening sound of the gunshot reverberating throughout the room. Time seems to freeze as my father's lifeless body slumped to the ground. The weight of grief and guilt crushed down upon me, threatening to consume my shattered soul. Ferlucci's laughter filled the room. A haunting melody that echoed in my ears, mocking my pain.
You see what happens when you defy me. Your father paid the ultimate price for your disobedience.
Ferlucci taunted, relishing in his sadistic triumph. Tears streamed down my face as I sank deeper into despair. The darkness within me grew, intertwining with the emotions of my father's abuse, suffocating any glimmer of hope that remained. Ferlucci has succeeded in breaking me, in extinguishing the flame of resilience that once burned within me.
I thought you said it was another choice.
There is,
said Ferlucci with a hint of laughter in his voice.
Your gun was empty, but unfortunately, you decided to not trust me. And I couldn't leave your father to think that I'm a villain. Loose ends must always be tied.
Then what am I?
I said with anger and fear,
that I've never felt before.
Am I just another loose end? Are you gonna kill me too?
Oh no.
Ferlucci scoffed.
If I kill you, then who is to blame for your father's death?
I was speechless. I didn't know what to say. He had played me yet again, and I fell into his trap.
A few silent moments later, the room filled with colors of red and blue. Cops stormed into the abandoned warehouse where Ferlucci held me as prisoner.
Over here, officers!
Ferlucci yelled.
I tried, and I had to subdue him until you arrived. He tried to attack me.
The cops came into the room, untied my binds, put me in handcuffs, and carted me away. As I was being dragged away from that hell, Ferlucci tossed a scrambled piece made nameplate into the air. And the pieces fell one by one. L-U-C-I-F-E-R. Lucifer. In the aftermath, Ferlucci covered his tracks, carefully orchestrated a narrative that painted me as the deranged culprit. The world saw me as a disturbed individual driven to commit an unthinkable act, unable to distinguish reality from delusion, confined to a prison of my own mind. I became a hollow shell, haunted by the memories of Ferlucci's sadistic games and the loss of my father. The truth remained buried beneath layers of deception. Injustice eluded us both. Ferlucci continued his reign of manipulation, unimpeded by the consequences of his actions, preying upon vulnerable souls, leaving a trail of shattered lives in his wake. The world remained blind to his true nature, blind to the depths of his depravity. I became a forgotten casualty, a broken victim to Ferlucci's twisted desires. The weight of guilt and grief consumed me, eroding any remnants of the person I once was. My voice was silenced, my cries for justice drowned in a sea of indifference. And that's where I am now, broken, helpless, and destitute. My credibility is gone, my reputation ruined, and I do not see this changing. That's why I'm writing the story. It's too late for me, but it may not be for you. Please, if you ever get recommended to a psychologist named Dr. Ferlucci, don't go. Because, in reality, he is Lucifer in disguise. Goodbye for now. Ferlucci won. He broke me. And now, I'm going to spend eternity with him. Because I don't see any other way out. Other than to, as Ferlucci would put it, unbind myself from my past.
And kill the person who truly caused you pain.
Me.
That was Dr. Ferlucci by Interscare Sleep, performed by Silver Underworld, and featuring Phoenix Fire as the chilling Dr. Ferlucci. If that one made your skin crawl, good. That was the goal. From the very first journal entry, this story drags you step by step into one man's unraveling. But the real terror? It's in how easily that trust is weaponized. How simple it is to become someone's puppet when all you want is to be healed. Silver's performance brings a quiet desperation to the role, and it's that vulnerability, the kind you feel in your chest, that makes the ending land like it does. Of course, this isn't his first visit to Chilling Tales for Dark Nights. You can hear him again in episode number 346, Forever Unfinished, where he took us through tales of grief and obsession with just as much raw emotion and eerie control. If you liked what you heard tonight, do yourself a favor and check out Silver Underworld's Scary Stories on YouTube. He's got dozens of creepy tales with original sound design, immersive pacing, and his signature approach to psychological horror. You can also find him on Instagram, X, and Patreon, where you can support his work directly and get access to exclusive content. His favorite flavor of horror? Psychological spirals, killer girlfriends, and those is it real or not narratives that haunt you long after the lights are off. And tonight, he brought all that and more. As for Phoenix Fire, you can find more of their work across the horror YouTube scene, with standout performances ranging from subtle to sadistic. And trust me, we haven't heard the last of either of them on this show. That wraps up tonight's Descent into Clinical Madness, listener. If you enjoyed the tale and Silver and Phoenix Fire's eerie performances, don't keep it to yourself. Subscribe to Chilling Tales for Dark Nights wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us a review, a rating, or a comment. Your support helps us haunt more ears. Want more horror, more episodes, and fewer interruptions? Visit ChillingTalesForDarkNights.com and become a patron for ad-free episodes, exclusive content, and early access to the stories we haven't released yet. You'll also find us on YouTube at Chilling Tales for Dark Nights. Hit that like button, subscribe, and ring the bell so you never miss an episode. And hey, let us know in the comments, was the scariest moment the chair test, the journal entries, or the final twist that rewrites everything? We read every word, and yes, we remember the ones who skipped their homework. And before you go, head over to Silver Underworld's channel and show him some love. Tell him Steve from Chilling Tales sent you. While you're there, scroll through his back catalog, pick your poison, and maybe don't listen right before bed. I've been your host, Steve Taylor. I'll be back this Monday with another terrifying tale. Until then, turn off the lights and turn on the dark. Sweet dreams, listeners. Sweet dreams.